I'd like to just say why I'm speaking this morning. Early in the week, I was doing my normal Bible study, and I started to study things that I don't know anything about, and I realized there's a mystery there, and I'm always looking to let Christ solve the mystery. And that's where I was at on Monday morning, very early in the morning, and all of a sudden, I was reading the scripture, and the Lord spoke to my heart. I came to a line, and the Holy Spirit bore witness, and I knew right away I was on something new. And then on Tuesday morning, I looked up the same scripture then, and it bore witness to my spirit again, and I was going to call Jeff on Tuesday night. And then by Tuesday night, I thought, I don't know, I'll wait. But Thursday morning, after my session with the Lord, I called Jeff. And so here I am. And I am convinced that the Lord spoke to my heart about us here this morning. So praise the Lord. Now, what I was studying, I've been pondering outlandish statements in the Bible. And there's a lot of them. And I've been thinking some time about these things and wanting to just pondering them in my heart. And I'm going to do that this morning. I'm going to start with some of the statements Paul said. Now, I'm not going to tell you a thing you don't already know. In fact, some of you probably know them better than I do. But nevertheless, we're going to review them. But I think there's a reason. I think God wants us to begin to think and realize that he's still speaking to us today. Do you believe that? And he wants us to kind of get flowing in the same way. Because I'm anxious to share that scripture with me that he spoke to me on my heart. But anyhow, I want to draw your attention to these statement this morning. First of all, I want you to begin to think about Christ in us. Now, you've heard that all the time. You hear that all the time here. Very seldom does anybody get up and give much of a testimony that they don't talk about Christ in us. And Paul said, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? So there we are, and there's other ones. But I want you to think the difference this morning, Christ as us. I want you to begin to think about that. Christ as us. I want you to think about that. I want you to pray about it. I want you to ponder about it. And I'll just lay one scripture on you and 1 John 4:17, as he is, who can finish that sentence for me? So we are in this world. So I want you to all begin, I'm not going to talk about that today, but I want you to think about it. Christ as us. Well, Paul did say he was dead. Paul was dead. And he no longer lived, but Christ lived in him. Okay? So much for that. And then I want to bring a proposal to you this day. And I don't want you to think for a minute that I'm stating any facts that I know, but I've got a proposal I want to present to you about something Jesus said. He said, Nicodemus, you know where I'm at already, don't you? Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he went on to say in a couple verses later, unless you're born, wait a minute, he said, Nicodemus, you've got to be born from above. Right. Now that takes it out of the earthly realm right there. Then he says, Nicodemus, unless you're born of the water and the spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to bring a proposal on that later on this morning. I want you to think about that, though. But here's my proposal. Do you think there's a possibility that being born again is just a little bit different than being saved? Think about that. I'm going to talk about it a little later on. And some of these things is almost would be better with a small crowd over a cup of good coffee. And get into a debate. Debates are good. It's good to disagree, just don't get disagreeable. Me and Lou Wright are experts about disagreeing. And then the other thing I want is, I just already said, God is speaking to us today. And I'm going to talk about some of the outlandish statements that Paul has said, that Christ has said, and that God the Father has said. And I want us to get to thinking in that way, okay? The first thing I want to talk about is Paul's statements. But I'd like to say something about Paul first. Do you remember where Paul was first mentioned in the Bible? In Acts. And you know what he was doing? He was standing there watching them stone Stephen. And he was agreeing with them. He wanted to see Stephen stoned. He was a Pharisee. And he was out prosecuting God's church. That's first mentioned to Paul. That's what he was doing. The second time I want to just mention what he was on the road to Damascus. And that light shone and the voice came from heaven. And right away, what did Paul say? Lord, what do you want? He knew God was speaking. He knew it was the Lord speaking to him. And it was about 14 years went between that conversion and when he began to minister the word of God. And then in that 14 years, somewhere in there, he was called up to heaven. He said the third heaven. He said, whether in body or spirit, I don't know. Some people says it's all spirit. But Paul didn't know. How would they know? I'd like to think his whole body went. I wouldn't mind being snatched out of here. Whole body and everything, you know. Praise the Lord. And I'm just crazy enough to believe it can happen today. Anybody else that silly in here this morning? Raise your hand if you think hey, praise the Lord. Hey, brothers, I appreciated that young man when he got up and did the communion for us this morning. Wasn't that good? Didn't that excite your spirit? Didn't that light you up a little bit? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. And then I didn't know when Paul realized he was called to minister the word of God to the Gentiles, he said, I didn't talk to flesh and blood. He went down to Arabia somewhere, and for about 3 years, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure. And he was taught by who? The Lord himself. So Paul's got a right to say outlandish things. He said, I heard things that I shouldn't even speak. And one time my brother from the Richmond, Stephen, gave us some words one day and some of the things he thought Paul had said, saw, that was unspeakable. So Paul can say outlandish things, and I want to quote some of them first thing. This morning, I missed a page here. Here it is. I got to have notes. The old mind don't work like it used to. Now you heard this all the time. You ever since we've been meeting together, but Paul said, "I'll read that Ephesians 1:4, as he has chosen us in him." Us, he uses plural there, so I'm going to update that. Christ has chosen us in him. When? How about that? Christ chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world. Now, I've been thinking about that, and Paul is good on giving illustrations to wake you up. I was thinking about what I should do this or not, but I think I'll do it. Let me pick on one of Paul's sons right here. What's your name?
Kevin.
Did you know that God knew you before the foundations of the world?
Yeah.
You did. Did you know he knew you before Paul and your mother knew you? And he knew your name before they named you. Amen. Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. He's not done with me either.
Amen.
Amen. You believe that?
I do.
I do too. Oh, my heart. Say with you boys.
Before the foundations of the world can begin.
And you're every one of us. I just got more hope for these young ones than I have some of us old ones. Because of a word that the Lord gave me. I'm going to share it with you after a while. It's not done with you either, Paul. Hallelujah. Chosen us in Christ before the foundation. That's never been said before. Paul came up with that. And I love it. All right. Paul said he's chosen the foolish things. I'm not calling you foolish now, brother. And the weak things to profound those wise people. He has chosen the things that are not to bring to pass things that are. Hallelujah. Chosen us in Christ before the foundation. That is an outlandish statement. But it's true. But it's not overstated. It's just outlandish. It's not overstated. And then Paul says another thing. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. Now Paul, the murderer, Paul, the Pharisee, Paul, the executor, is saying now, it was God who separated from my womb. Now in my world, in this world, this marshy world, which, brother, that was a perfect example. We're going to get to that marshland after a while. In my world, that I don't even know why God would bother to mess with Paul. But he did. He separated from his mother's womb. And then you know what Paul says? Why he separated from his mother's womb? That he might show forth Christ. Paul was born, and he realized that in this world, to reveal Christ to the world. Oh, that's outrageous, too. And that takes quite a person that is well-centered in Christ, well-centered in the Holy Spirit. Living well, a spiritual, holy life before God can make that statement, that I was born that we might reveal Christ, and so are you. You wasn't born in here just to flounder around and walk around in the marsh up to your waist. You were born here to stand on the rock and represent Christ and reveal Christ. Not just represent him, but to reveal him. We'll get to that maybe a little later. Then he said that other outrageous statement to you always know. And there's a lot of them, but I'm only going to use four. I'm crucified. There is a man standing there, living, well alive, and he's saying, I'm dead. But I was crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I that am living, but Christ lives in me. That is a radical statement. That is a statement that is way out of the realms of this world. Only the Spirit-filled people can know, even to begin to believe, and know the meaning of that scripture. The next thing I want to mention, Paul said, in Christ, we are a new creation. He said, the old things has passed away, and all things are becoming new. Now we're getting close to what I want to talk about. We are a new creation. Now I want you to think about that. And I don't have a good insight here. I just know what the Bible says. I'm new. You're new. We're a new creation. Now here's where I'm getting to my proposal. When God saved me, he got rid of all my sins. And I'm no longer living under condemnation. But I'm still Charles Baker, aren't I? Now Paul's coming along and saying, Charles, you're passing away. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All these old things, Charles, is past. So I'm beginning, here's my proposal, I'm beginning to think that a new creation is something a little beyond being saved. I'm going to say that again. Because I misquote my own self sometimes. I'm beginning to think, this is my proposal. I'm not teaching this, I'm proposing you think about it. That being born again is more than just being saved. Now, it's probably part of the deal. But now listen, I won't go back and read it, but he said Nicodemus, Jesus. Now this is outrageous. Nicodemus didn't even catch it. And he was a rich ruler of the Jews. He knew what was going on. He knew that Jesus was sent by God. He said he did it. He said nobody can do the things you're doing except God send him. And Jesus almost bluntly interrupted him and said, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now here's the new creation part. This week I did something I hadn't done in a long, long time. I've always encouraged all of you to give up your commentaries. I give them up, but I still got them stacked upstairs somewhere. I went and got them out because I knew what they were going to say, but I wanted to make sure I hadn't got it wrong. And they got all kinds of ideas about the water was Jesus was talking about here. Except you be born of the water and of the Spirit. From above, you cannot enter, okay? And some says he was referring to when John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the river. There was no life in that river. That river is so dirty then, and it's still dirty today, and it's full of salt, and life got in the river when Jesus walked in it. But when he walked out, the life left the water. There was no life in that water. And some think it's when we were born, naturally, the water broke and all those things. But I found out what it is. Turn to Revelation, so I'm going to show you what water you got to be born of. I think I wrote it down. Okay, so Revelation 22. 1. I didn't write it down. If it did, I can't see it. Oh, yeah, Revelation 22:1. Here it is. He showed me a river, watch this, a river of the water of life. Oh, thank you. Showed me a river water of life. Like I said, there was no life in that river where they baptized Jesus. There's no life in the water when I was born in you. It was a sign that life was coming. But this river of life is the river that Jesus is talking about there. And except you're born of that water, it's the same river that Ezekiel saw back in 47 when it flowed from the throne of God and it flowed four directions. Northeast, southwest. That's the river. And you got, now then, this is something that you can't just reason about, your mind won't let you. I bet none of you can reason out what that means. But by faith in this life, Paul says we walk now, we are born of that river, the river of life. So now then, my proposal is getting stronger, isn't it? There's more than being saved and going to heaven. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now then, why I called Jeff the other morning. When I was studying about this new life and all things becoming new, I ran up on a scripture in the Old Testament. And it was God speaking. And he said, now I want you to pay attention to me now. You got to believe in me. God said, I'm going to do a new thing. And the Spirit of the Lord leaped within me. And I got excited. I'm going to do a new thing. And I just started to almost quit reading and praising the Lord, because the Spirit was bearing witness to my spirit that the Lord was speaking to me. And then I realized He was speaking to me for all of us that are here this morning. Oh, I'm sorry for those that aren't here. God was speaking to all of us. And when I read this, I almost claimed it for all of us. And the Holy Spirit said, no, no, you just proclaim it. They've got to claim it themselves. So I didn't get to act like a prophet. I got to act as a messenger. Now turn with me, Isaiah 43. I want to share with you and some thoughts about what I think is going. This is. There it is, somewhere. 43:19. This is God speaking through Isaiah the prophet. Are you with me? Verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Look at the next verse, next line. And it shall spring forth, so you shall know it. And here they are. I will make a road in the wilderness. I'll change that word right now and make it swamp. And look at the next one. And I'll make a river in the desert. And I got excited. And here's what God wants us to know. He's going to do a new thing with us. You believe that? I do, 100%. And He's going to build a road in the wilderness. Yes. That means we're going to go where we've never been before. Now, I don't know about you, and I praise the Lord for all we know about Him, but there's more. But here's what I want you to note. He's going to build a road. So don't get out your bulldozers and don't get out your backhoes and your crane. He's going to build it. And you wouldn't know where to build it anyhow, because you don't know where He wants us to go. So He'll build a road. And brother, I was thinking about your situation you mentioned this morning. I just believe in my heart that God is going to build something different here. A new thing that we don't know about, and we'll learn from that thing. And there's another person has asked us to pray for him. And I just felt in my heart that the Lord is going to build a new situation in their life too. But I need to warn them, let God build a road, you leave it alone. And if you've got a situation in your life and you don't know quite how to handle it, get your hands off it. Let God build the road. Let God do the work. And I'll tell you something. It'll get done quicker. It'll get done faster. And it'll be perfect. And I got another feeling about this road He's going to build. It's not a dead end. And I don't think it's going to be a narrow road. I think it's going to be a broad road. So here's the first thing I want us to show. That God has really spoken to my heart. He's going to bring us into things, places we haven't been before. Amen? And here's the second thing. And a river in the desert. Now that river speaks of life again. That speaks of life. And what I think God is saying to us now, this is the Lord speaking. God is saying, I'm going to bring life in areas of your life that are now kind of desolate. And I believe in every one of our lives, there are areas that God wants to make more fruitful than it is now. Maybe areas that you and I don't even know about, but also corporately. He's going to bring life. Life that we have not witnessed and tasted before. Now that's not too outlandish. And besides that, if God said it, who can stop it? And if He says, I will do these things, He will do these things. God says, I will do a new thing. Now, Lex or Phil or one of these brothers at the end of last year made a statement one day for us all be praying about this year coming, about what the Lord would have us to do. Well, I thought about that when this came to me. Now, I don't know what road he's going to build in your life, and I don't know what road he's going to build for us corporately, but he's going to build a road. I am positively sure. And he's going to put a river in the desert. He's going to bring life to dry places that we've never really witnessed before. Amen? Well, that's what I thought the Lord spoke to my heart about. Now, I got one other thing here. And it was Paul who saw the body of Christ. Paul didn't see an assembly of people just meeting together. He saw a body. He saw a living, functioning, operating, life full of, a body full of life functioning to the glory of God. Now, I'm not bragging on us. Because I know we haven't arose yet, but we are probably one of the few functioning bodies. Everybody that's born again is of the body of Christ, but there's not a lot of functioning bodies of Christ. Do you know what I'm saying? Norman Grubb. Any of you in here remember him? Norman Grubb made this statement one time to some of us that this was the most functioning body that he'd ever been around. And I think that it's important that we not no longer take it like we have arrived, but take it like we haven't got there yet, that the body is still going to function in the Lord. And this body is capable of doing outrageous, outlandish, and almost impossible things. Turn to Ephesians 1:17. And Paul, you come up and read that, would you?
My legs are. This is about the body.
Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom, of revelation, and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
That's his body. And I want you to all be praying about that all week. Amen? Our Lord, we thank you.
Yes.
For the great knowledge and knowing that you're still speaking to our hearts.
Amen.
And Lord, that you are moving and directing and guiding us. And Lord, we pray about what Paul just read, that we begin to know more about the power of the body of Jesus Christ. That Father, that we may glorify you more and portray and reveal Christ more than we ever have before as a living body here on earth. Lord, we just ask that this be done by the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.